Hello there, this is Sheila Grace Harvey and welcome to Relationship Revelations. And today we're going to be looking at whether your past is pushing you or is your future pulling you. And it's quite an interesting thing to look at, because if we truly believe that our future was pulling us, then nothing in our past would really matter. But however, I was just reflecting how when something doesn't seem to be going our way, or we get upset about something, or we're feeling down or negative, how we often focus back into the past and to incidents that just reinforce what we're currently feeling. So I wondered, how come we don't automatically default to our successes and to our positive feelings? Because that's not what we generally do. We generally default to something that makes us feel that we're justified in the way we're feeling, because we have all of this evidence in our past to back up that things may be not going the way that we would like to. So I guess the question is how do we gain wisdom from our past, be clear about where it is that we're going, and yet stay present in this moment, because in this moment everything is absolutely fine. I think that it would be wonderful to just say, well, if we totally focused on the future, then we wouldn't have to be concerned about the past. However, if those things from the past keep showing up, then basically it's really a good idea for us to be able to find a way to work with those things, to heal, let go, reframe them, whatever it is, just so that we don't keep going back into them, so that we can just allow our future to pull us beautifully forward. And we'll be talking a little bit how to do that. So because obviously our memories, I mean, the truth about our memories is that, well, they're not always true, but we do seem to vividly remember more of the negative things than we do a lot of the things that have really happened to us that have been really great. So what we're really aiming for, and if this was a real good intention, it would be to be able to look back without having any judgments on the past, but just be able to look at the facts. Because often we have emotion tied up in things. We have, you know, kind of other negative emotions and feelings, and we have a lot of mentalizing with it, and usually they're not positive. So it's almost like being a detective. If you have a detective who has a look into something and they're finding out some information and getting some evidence, they're not doing that with a lot of emotion. They're kind of dispassionate. They're kind of objective. It's just getting what are the facts, what is the information, so that you can then have a look at what that information is. It's like driving your car. We've talked about this before. You don't drive constantly looking in your rearview mirror. And yet so many people that I work with spend a lot of time looking back. A lot of therapy is constantly looking back, instead of sometimes it really is about looking forward. And let's just see if there is a way to actually just touch into some of those things and actually find the wisdom, the experiences that we've gained from things, so that we've actually got something that will be an advantage to us going forward. Let's take that wisdom, but leave behind the pain and the negativity. Most of us, I think, would find that we probably have a lot of things around our parents or your caregivers, because they were a major influence in our lives. And, of course, they in turn were influenced by their parents and their parents and their parents. So there are a lot of things that we've kind of inherited, a lot of fears, a lot of way of doing things. And the reality is life is changing quite drastically. If you only look at the last 10, 15, 20 years, life has changed dramatically. Life is not the same way that it used to be. We look at doing things very, very differently. So why would we bring in things that happened when we were 5 or 10? Because they're just not really that relevant. So it may be that as things start showing up, if you start looking back, that you can say, okay, what is it that I need to learn from this? I was reflecting on an incident that this was something that happened to me just before I was born. My father was a insurance salesman, and in these days in Manchester, in England, it was in the days where he used to have a bicycle and he used to collect money kind of door to door. And one day he had to go and pay a claim out to somebody. He left his bicycle outside, and when he came out, the bicycle had been stolen. Well, he had to walk home. And when he got home, my mother laughed so much that she ended up going into hospital and having me. So I'm very grateful at that situation because I came into this world on a really good laugh. And I think any of us who survive in this world know that to be able to laugh at things is an absolute blessing, which is something that I inherited from my mother. When I look at my early childhood of living in a kind of a little terrace house in Manchester, and I remember talking about this to a group of people in the States, and they went, "Oh my God, you were so poor." And I think, well, growing up, I never thought of being poor. I never thought of it in that respect because nobody seemed to have money. Everywhere I was, you know, my relatives, everybody in that area were kind of, you know, were in a similar situation. We didn't have television, so we didn't know how the other half lived. Radio was kind of, I think, a lot more entertainment with a lot more of things kind of, you know, like comedy shows and things. Because, you know, this was still the end of the war, and even a huge number of years after the war had ended, there were rations, things were, you know, in short supply, people got used to living without. But it wasn't something that I thought of as terrible, bad, or difficult because we were all in that situation. And, you know, I remember the tin bath coming out twice a week and had to be filled with the kettles for baths and things like that because we didn't have a bathroom. There was a kitchen that was off the, you know, the back living room, which was like a lean-to, and there was an outside toilet. And, you know, when I say that we had a little yard, I don't mean in the sense in America where a yard is like a back garden. This literally was a concrete little yard and a little shed. So it was very, very different, obviously, to what I'm used to in terms of my life now. But I don't look back on that as being horrendous. I'm getting used to looking back and actually focusing on what were some of the blessings of all of that. We moved with my father from, you know, from school to school and house to house around England. And, you know, in many respects, it was very challenging because as soon as I made friends with people and had a sort of a group of friends, we'd move. And then I would all of a sudden, I'd be the outsider, I'd be the loner, I would feel separate. Yet, in this kind of day and age where I've traveled a lot and lived in several countries, it has enabled me to have a resilience and a flexibility that I may not have had my life been different. So I think that when we look back, it's really great to look at the value, the experiences, what we learned from it, how we gained from it, because really who we are today is the sort of the sum total of all of the different experiences that we've had, and some of them are good and some are bad, but how often have we looked back at situations that seemed really terrible, but in fact, in retrospect, they were real blessings. So how do we look for those blessings? How do we find the good, the blessings? And a couple of weeks or so ago, we had John Morton on and from You Are the Blessings book, and how he is able to find the blessings in just about any situation. And, you know, it's really, I think, important as we are coming up to times that, you know, we have an option of how we view things. Are they going to be challenging? It looks like it could be. Can we still be okay? Yes. Can we not buy into a lot of the kind of the media and a lot of things that are going on? Yes, we can. Look like a detective. You know, what are the actual facts? A lot of hype goes on with a lot of things that go on in the world, and the media just really promotes a lot of things. And it promotes fear, but we don't have to get into fear. We can just deal with what is. So, you know, a lot of us have had things in our past that have really prepared us for our future. So it's time to look at maybe some of the attitudes and some of the things that we've been holding on to and look at how can we let these go. So, I mean, some of the attitudes I know that I grew up with was, you know, you had to work really hard. Money doesn't grow on trees. I always remember my father saying that to me. And there were times where no matter what I did, it never seemed to be enough. I just, no matter what I did. So my kind of way of dealing with all this was to look at how can I recalibrate? How can I relook at this? How can I look back and think of things in a really uplifting way, not always in the negative. And that way we don't have the past pushing on us. The past can only push on us while we keep looking back. That's constantly driving while looking in your rearview mirror. But we're really wanting to focus on going forward. And where do we want to go? That's where we're putting our focus. And if we put 100% focus in going forwards, then there is nothing behind us to be concerned about. It's just all stepping stones. And we don't have to let them be stumbling blocks unless we choose to have it be that way. So, yeah, maybe life hasn't worked out the way you thought it might be. You know, people in your life have died. The job you got sacked from, or the work has changed. You've been, we call it retrenched over here, which is a horrible word, isn't it, retrenched. People have lost money. There's a lot of things going on at right now, but can you direct your life into a more positive focus, and can you be an abundant creator? And we talked last week with Paul Kay, who was here, who co-authored with JR The Rest of Your Life, talking about being a co-creator with God and creating what it is that we want in our life. And we talked about a process of seeding where you can put a money in and kind of like planting a seed to have a greater return and abundance. So, you know, we can have abundance. We can create the life that we want. And one of the things, and the reason why I've been talking about going back and healing the past, is because John Roger, in his book, Wealth and Higher Consciousness, talks about it's a lot easier to create if you're more balanced. He says material abundance may also be more accessible if you are internally balanced. Part of this balance involves being at one with what is going on in the present. It doesn't necessarily mean liking it or even preferring it, but accepting it without judgment. Cooperating with what is going on contributes to oneness. A balance and an A balance and an inner tranquility that are the essence of true abundance. If you go for materiality with an attitude of tranquility and not greed, when you get it, you will probably have the capacity to enjoy it without being hooked into it. So by being more balanced, it is easier to create what you want and move towards that future and have your future pull you towards it. And to have the future pull you towards it just is basically about doing like a blueprint for success, as we've talked about. That is putting down a very clear plan and intention of what it is that you would like to create for yourself. And don't worry about the situation in life at the moment. I mean, you do this regardless. You don't have to buy into everything you hear or everything you read. The important thing is that you have an opportunity to let go and move forward. And I think that all of us want to have more happiness and abundance and success and more caring and more sharing with each other. So, you know, whatever those things are, it's a really great idea to do like a little heart, put some spokes out from it and put around it all the things that you would like to experience. And maybe with some of those attitudes, you can shift them. Now, you know, I love affirmations, and I know some people kind of don't get into them at all, but I just feel that if I'm getting focused on something that is not really uplifting, then I want my mind to get out of that kind of rut and into something that is that keeps me more on a positive track. I want to reboot my computer, as it were. And so, you know, just look at some of the attitudes, like, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. So maybe for me, I will say, I always have more money than I need. Life is tough, hard, and difficult. That's, you know, what my father always said. Well, everything I need comes in easily and in perfect timing. So we don't have to buy into it. So reaffirm what you want, not what you don't want. If it's I'm not lovable, it's, well, I am loved, and I don't have to do anything to deserve it. If you're living in lack, never feeling like there's enough, I say something like, abundance manifests perfectly in my life. I feel blessed, and I am opening up to allowing it in. So whatever it is that comes up for you, if you look in your past, that is a problem, that is a difficulty, that, you know, pulls you down, just look at what is the blessing, what is the benefit, and then kind of just rephrase it into a positive of what you would like. So if you didn't feel that you felt safe, then maybe you put something together around safety, and that is, you know, I am always feeling safe, and I get clear direction if I'm in a situation that isn't. Because let's face it, sometimes we can get ourselves into a situation that isn't totally safe. So we don't want to be Pollyannish about it. What we want is to be really sensible and real about these things. And to me, one of the things that really assists me is to give ourselves permission to have what we want. It seems crazy that we need to give ourselves permission, but in many respects, we spent most of our lives under kind of parental control, teachers' control, control of clergy, whatever, that it's almost like we almost have to give ourselves permission to have what we want, permission to move forward, to succeed. You know, we do deserve to have what we want. And again, as we put down what we want, another thing to do for similar to affirmations, but there's another way of doing them that also acknowledges that we've already got it, because sometimes acting as if is a really, really great way to bring things in. And that is to actually thank, and I'm going to say thank God, but please substitute whatever words works for you, because, you know, don't get hung up on the word level. But some of the affirmations that I use is, thank you, God, for bringing me success in my life. Thank you, God, for bringing me the perfect man or woman into my life, whatever's appropriate. Thank you, God, for bringing lots of money into my life. Thank you, God, for bringing me harmony, peace, and acceptance in my life. So if you're looking for some more qualities, you're looking for specific things in your life, whether it's money, jobs, relationships, home, whether it's peace, whether it's happiness, prosperity, freedom, whatever it is, you come from that place of actually thanking God for already having it. It's like an acknowledgement. And being grateful is something that I talk about a lot. And I was sharing with a guest the other week that, you know, when I was in the States and having a really difficult time, I used to pick up these little 1 cent pieces. And it's like, even gratitude for the smallest things, it's almost like out there, spirit goes, oh, wow, she's grateful. Well, give her some more to be grateful about. But when we come from that attitude of, oh, it's not worth picking up that cent, then it's like a disdain. It's like we're not in cooperation with. It's like that's not enough. You know, it really comes from a place of the opposite of gratitude. It's like we're bemoaning the fact that, well, that's not enough to do anything. That's not going to get me out of debt. But really, it's all about being grateful for the littlest of things and being able to just joyfully really, really appreciate who we are, who we have in our lives, and what we're doing. And, you know, because from that place of incredible gratitude brings in such loving. It is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful vibration to be on. And it keeps us in that real loving. And in that loving is what brings things into us. It allows that grace. It allows the cooperation. It allows things to come in on track for us. Because we're in that place of openness, in that place of receiving receptivity. And we're just, you know, just so happy no matter what shows up. So having things that assist you, so it's finding what works for you, you know. I'm a great believer of finding what works. Not everything works for everybody. So, you know, as you resonate to something more than something else, that may be your indicator that that's something that works for you. I know that when I've worked with people in sessions and we put together some affirmations, I'll say something and it won't resonate. Well, it's not about me. It's about the person resonating with it. So we'll keep going till we find something that truly resonates, because then that is something the person can work with. So find what works for you. If thanking God And assuming you already have it works for you, that's great. If you just need to do some other affirmations to kind of shift some of the things in the way that you've been thinking, that's great too. And the other thing I like to do is I ask for assistance. Now, because I work with the energy, I often ask for the Christ to assist me. And again, please substitute words that work for you, whether it's universal loving, whether it's God, whatever works for you, because at the end of the day, it's whatever you believe in that's important. So I ask for assistance, like, Christ, show me how to have financial abundance. Show me how to have more fulfilling relationships. Show me how to have greater trust within myself. Show me how to come more into unconditional loving. Show me how to create a lifestyle that I would really love for myself. Show me, Christ, how to have the home of my dreams. Show me, Christ, how I can have really great relationships with people that I'm working with and my family. So whatever it is that you feel that you need, just, you know, show me how to do this. Show me. Ask for help, because by putting that out, it's like a form of a prayer and saying, hey, you know, I don't necessarily know how to do this. And the truth is that grace can come in when we come from that humility of saying, you know what, I really don't know how to always do this. And even with the work that I do, I mean, the reason why I love doing this work and working with other people is because it keeps me on track. It reminds me of the things that I do that work. And every now and then I really have to look at what are some of the keys, what are some of the things that I have found have worked for me, and are they still working for me? Am I still using them? Because so often what happens is there are just so many things that are available that it's easy to use things for a while and then forget about them and do something else. So just, you know, keep coming back to, what are those things that work? Why has that worked for me? And just come into thinking of yourself as completely healthy. Why are you healthy? Just come into that place of asking as if you are healthy and looking at, well, why am I healthy? So you get to look at, well, what are the things that I've always been doing that help me to be healthy? It's a kind of a way just to bring things back present and on track, of bringing forward information from your past. And, you know, the past is not something to be concerned about or wish that it didn't happen. I just can't kind of emphasize enough how much wisdom we have. And that's why, you know, when I do workshops, I do things like looking at your first love and what happened, doing exercises and looking at how you were with your parents. A really interesting one is comparing a person you are in relationship with or married or going out with and looking at what their similarities are to your parents. Looking at some of the attitudes you were brought up with. You look at a lot of these different situations as you go past, is past in your life. It's like there's information here. Mine it. It's like a gold mine. Mine the wisdom. Let go of those things that no longer work and just know that this is assisting you to be strong. This is building a strong foundation from under you. If we don't have a strong foundation underneath us, guess what happens? Something happens, the rug gets pulled from out of us, and we have a long drop down. And then we feel hurt and vulnerable, and, you know, it's like life's not fair, and look what happened to me. Well, if we don't have a solid foundation, the house is going to fall down. So sometimes when a house goes up, often that putting the concrete and building those solid foundations can take a huge amount of time. And it looks like nothing very much is happening. And then all of a sudden the house goes up and it's finished very quickly. But without that solid foundation, you don't have anything that's really worthwhile. You have something that is basically shaky. And, you know, at the slightest wind, that house will fall over. So just look at all of this as building that solid foundation. Some of those stones and some of those beautiful experiences are just set there in stone for you so that they are solid, something for you to stand on. And the beautiful thing is when that wind blows, you can't be shaken. if someone pulls a rug from under you, you're standing on solid ground. There's nowhere for you to go. So you might dust yourself off, but you're okay because you're on solid footing. And this really is why sometimes it is important to relook at some things that have caused you distress, that you still think about with distress, and put those into a framework of what the value was, because you are stronger for every single thing that's happened to you. So we want to ask for assistance. And what I think we might do now is let's just do a little meditation of just letting go and relooking at the past, so that, you know, you can kind of get a better handle on some of those things and, you know, maybe just find the wisdom and then let go so that you can move on to your next phase of your life. So let's start just by taking in a couple of really deep breaths in. Just breathe in and let it out. Maybe just do a couple where you breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Just really deep breaths. So breathe in and out through the mouth. And just one more. Breathe in and out through the mouth. And you might want to close your eyes, preferably if you're not driving or anything, in which case, please do this later. So just close your eyes. And we're just going to ask for that love and light of the Christ, that living, loving, to come present with us all at this time. We ask that any difficulties, any negativity, any karma, anything that we no longer need, we just ask the Christ with loving and light, and with grace, to release and assist us to let go for the highest good of all concerned. We ask with assistance so that we can release any outworn conditions, any limiting beliefs. We just let those go. And maybe we just take a moment to reflect back on our lives, and maybe just look at some of those things that you do remember. And maybe if there are times where you didn't feel good about yourself or something happened that you still feel hurt or pain with, just bring that to mind. Just step back from it and look at it as if you were looking through the eyes of loving. Maybe through the eyes of the Christ. And maybe instead of the pain and the hurt, that can be released. And you can look through the wisdom and see what it was that you gained from that situation. See if you can just hear that wisdom. And maybe there is real value in whatever it was that happened. And now just let go of the pain, let go of any of the anxiety, any of the fear, any of the judgment. And I forgive myself for judging myself, for holding on to things I no longer need. I forgive myself for judging myself, for holding on to the pain, and only looking at one little part of what happened. And I let go and give that up and surrender it to the Christ. And now just scan back and see if there is any other incidents that have happened where you feel the lack or the hurt still remaining. And again, just look through the eyes of loving and see where there is value, where it's strengthened you, where it's helped you to build a solid foundation for who you are right now. And as you take the wisdom and the value, the experience with you, you let go of any hurt and any pain and surrender that up. And just see your body filled with the light of the Christ, healing, blessing, releasing, filling your body with grace and loving, releasing anything that you no longer need. And right now, just focus on where it is that you want to go. What are some of those learnings? What are some of those amazing wisdoms that you brought with you as you're continuing on your journey? And as you're having, it's like a little rest stop in between where you've been and where you're going. You have an opportunity to really, really look at the journey that you're taking and get a few signposts and looking at where you're going. And maybe you'll write some of these things down of what it is that you want to create for yourself. Putting a little blueprint where you might put you want greater unconditional loving, more trust, greater financial abundance, greater health, a beautiful home, a place to, it's like a sanctuary for you that you can come in and regenerate. Whatever it is that you need to assist you in this lifetime, go for it. Be outrageous. Don't limit yourself. Go open up to unlimited possibilities. Allow yourself the freedom to have fun with this. And put fun and joy and lightness on there. Because why not have it joyful? Be like the little child skipping along the road, joyfully singing. So it is time to bless all your experiences. It is time to bless all those people who've been your teacher. Bless all those that have brought forward all your learnings and your growth. And often those people can be the most challenging. Just remember that you're probably doing the best that you know how, and most of the people you meet are doing the same. So it's a forgiveness, it's a letting go, it's a greater level of acceptance and loving for others. So be grateful for your life. Be grateful for everything that's happened to you. They've made you who you are. And now maybe what we can do is see if we can recalibrate that default setting. So instead of going back to anything in your past that's not of a positive nature, we want it to default to the blessings. We want it to default back to wisdom and experience and learning and fun. So that when you think back, that you think back with the positive, uplifting experiences. So you can create the life you've had the way you would like it to be, because your brain doesn't distinguish between reality and what you tell it. So you might as well tell it some good things. So right now, just come back into the heart. Come back into your loving. Just imagine a beautiful pillar of pure white light from the highest heaven through your body through to the center of the earth. And now if there's anything else left in that journey of your life up until now, that you've been hanging on to for whatever reason, we're just going to ask that Christ to assist right now with you letting go and just see it going up that pillar of pure white light, high up into the heavens and dissolved into the nothingness from which it came. Because none of it's really real. Just let it go. Let go of the righteousness. Let go of the need to be right and controlling. Let go of manipulating. Let go of needing to be the person who knows what's going on. Just let go of it all. It's time to be free. And just in those places that you've let things go, just replace it with the loving. And put your hands over your heart. And in the loving of your heart, just expand that loving, that divine loving, throughout your body, through every part of it. Bringing it back into balance, right down even to the cell level. And just love and appreciate your body for assisting you up until now. But it's got you where you are now. That it's strong. And that you're strong. Thank all the parts of you that have assisted you. Your mind, your emotions, your ego. You have a male and a female part, you have a little child, all of those parts, basic selves. We have higher selves, conscious selves, we have all these different parts that are really assisting, and we just ask to assist bring them all into alignment. In alignment with where you're going and what you want to accomplish. And just see the road ahead, filled with light. Send that light ahead of you. Ask for the assistance of the Christ to send that light ahead of you, to make easy your way, to open up, to receive all that's available for you. You receive not because you ask not. So ask for what you want. Ask the Christ whatever it is that you need to assist you right now. Just ask. It's all available for you. And right now, just find yourself coming back into your body. Just bring yourself present, whether you're sitting on a chair or lying down or whatever you're doing right now, just come back, be aware. And when you're ready, you can just open your eyes. So I wanted to do a lovely little quote here from Ask and It Shall Be Given. I really love Esther and Jerry Hicks, and they talk a lot about putting out those rockets of desire out there and about getting in the boat and letting it just drift downstream instead of us getting our oars out and paddling upstream. And they talk about raising your vibration. Obviously, meditation is a wonderful way to do that. But also, you know, bringing up your vibration. What we're doing today is finding sort of ways that we can let go of everything that isn't of a higher vibration, because the higher we come into the vibration, the more we can create and bring to us what we need. Because the higher the vibration we are in loving and gratitude, then the easier it is for things to come to us, because we're just flowing downstream. It's easy. But if we're, if we're not in that place of the higher vibration, then we're often, you know, it's tough because we're paddling upstream. So this is a wonderful book, Ask and It Shall Be Given, for anybody who wants to manifest anything. So if you're wanting any assistance at all with creating things for yourself, this is an excellent, excellent book. And she says here, now, there are other ways of raising your vibrations than meditation, such as listening to music that makes your heart sing, jogging in a beautiful place, petting your cat, walking your dog, and so on. These are just some of the many pleasant activities that cause a release of resistance and a rise in vibration. Often, you are in your highest state of connection to source energy while you are driving your vehicle. That is the reason why there are relatively so few traffic accidents. The rhythm of the road, the distraction from what has been bothering you, and the idea of going someplace new often causes you to leave behind thoughts of things that have been bothering you. Your goal is to release any thought that causes resistance so that you are then in a place of pure positive thought. It is not a problem if you cannot completely quiet your mind unless your mind is chattering about negative things. If you are softly thinking about pleasant things during meditation, it can be of value. And, you know, she talks about, you know, there are things that you can do, whether it's being with your family, taking a walk on the beach, you know, playing with a child, or just even delicious food. They're all things that, you know, that can help you to raise your vibration as you think about wonderful moments. And she says, in other words, it is quite easy to find something that is pure positive energy. Thinking about your pets can be a good source of positive thought because animals are so unconditional in their love. Just find any thought that feels good when you think it and practice it until you begin to set that tone within you, and then other good feeling thoughts will follow. So remember, in many respects, this is, you know, about creating new uplifting habits. And in order to create new uplifting habits, you know, they need to be practiced. So practice getting into a higher vibration. And we've talked about some of those things, gratitude, loving. And I often talk about the gorgeous cat from upstairs, and she is just absolutely a darling. And, you know, I just stop and have moments, and she is just so pure, unconditionally loving, my little love bug. And I cannot help but feel absolutely loving when I'm in her presence, and the joy of playing with her when she's in a feisty mood and she wants you to throw the ball into all sorts of things. I mean, these are the moments that we treasure, and that's what we're really looking for, focusing on those moments that are a treasure. I suddenly had this real flashback to a friend and I went to Stratford-on-Avon when we were in our teen years, and we got into a boat on the river, River Avon. That's it, the River Avon. And it started to rain. So we pulled over to the shore, and I went for the shore, and the boat went the other end, and I ended up knee-deep in water and nettles. Now, I could have been really upset about it, but that is something that the two of us have laughed about for years. So what is really great is to build up fun, wonderful memories. Because sometimes there are just things that happen in life that are just such joy. And these are the things that, to me, put in, like, it's like a bank account with money in it, you know, as opposed to an overdraft. The more things you put in there that are of a positive, uplifting, and fun nature, those great memories, that's what really assists. That's why I have kind of, I buy beautiful journals, and I, you know, just like I take little things to read to you, to listen to. If I have something that I feel is really good and really resonates, I write it down. I have books with lots of little things in it, and I just read through them, and I cannot get through any of these books without feeling uplifted and really fantastic, because they're joyful, lovely things. And that's what we need. We need tools that are going to assist to uplift us. And surround ourselves with those things. Surround yourself with beautiful things that make you feel good, so that when you look around the room that you're in, there are things there that make you feel really, really great. I mean, if I'm looking around the room I'm in, I have a beautiful water fountain which I got in the States, which I absolutely love, and it's got a hue symbol, which is a transcript word for God on it. I have a picture that I bought in England that's a watercolor that has like a stone wall and like wildflowers, which reminds me of Wales, where I used to go on holidays. And I have another beautiful picture of pelicans, which I absolutely love. And I bought that in Sausalito, and it's something that takes me back to a time when I had a lovely trip there. So you can have things around you that make you feel really good about yourself, because, you know, that way you have everything around you is assisting you to stay above things, above all of the kind of the things that happen in life. You just keep going in that higher vibration. We want to be in a higher vibration. Life is easier in a higher vibration. We cannot have negative feelings and a higher vibration in the same space. The two do not mix. So we have to let go of the old, and then we can come into that loving higher vibration and stay in that gratitude. And it just, we will really be very, very supported in that way. I also, John Roger also in the same book that I've just done a quote from, Wealth and Higher Consciousness, which is, again, is another wonderful book if you're looking for creating more financially for yourself and more abundance. And, of course, abundance isn't always about money, and I think a lot of people equate abundance with money, but, in fact, often it isn't. Abundance, to me, is about being able to create everything you need when you need it. It isn't necessarily shown up in money, but it is often reflected in the way you live your life and things coming in for you as you need them. And that's part of being a powerful creator, that having an abundant consciousness of always knowing things are going to come in as you need it. John Rogers says here, he says, prosperity in terms of true value has to enrich the human beings involved. If you buy something from someone, an opportunity exists for each of you to be enriched through a fair deal. As a result, both of you, human beings each, can come away from the transaction with an experience of increased worth, not just on the material level, but on the human exchange level. Although prices may fluctuate, the human being is priceless. There may be things on this planet that are enormously expensive and luxurious, and they are of little true value if you don't connect to the inner treasures. So build up your inner treasures. Build up those inner beautiful memories. Build up those things that bring you joy. Be around things that make you feel good about yourself. Pet the cat, the dog. Spend time in that loving, because animals are unconditional. Do what I do and smile and talk to children, little kids in supermarkets. They are absolutely adorable, and they just, I mean, just to see them go into sort of into a big smile and joy, and their little faces light up, is just, it's beautiful. And there are just so many things when we look around that make us feel absolutely joyful. A friend of mine was sharing with me in Los Angeles, where she lives, that this little hummingbird has started coming around and comes really close to her, and the joy that she gets from that is just absolutely incredible. And she had a cat that I love too, that passed away recently, and this hummingbird now comes. So it's almost like nature abhors a vacuum, so it will bring something else in. So be open to greater possibility, that as something and one door closes, that another door is going to open for you. So it's really about just knowing and trusting and believing. And in the meanwhile, it's about, how can I lift my vibration? How can I be in such a higher vibration that I am in the boat going downstream, where everything I want is just waiting perfectly for me? It isn't even about struggle and tough and hard and difficult. That's gone. That's old ways of doing things. Now we want to get into the new ways of doing things. And the new ways of doing things is by coming back into our greater sense of loving, of appreciating who we are, so that we're able to co-create with God and have what we want. So I also, because we've touched quite a bit about talking about meditation, and I've mentioned spiritual exercises is what I do. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of information so that if you're interested in doing a little meditation for yourself and going within, that, you know, we can give you some of the keys on how to do that. So, you know, it's suggested that you may start doing this for about 50 minutes. And if you want the information on this, John Roger has a book called Fulfilling Your Spiritual Promise. I'm reading out of Volume 2. On doing spiritual exercises. It's called Spiritual Exercises and Soul Transcendence. And he talks about maybe 15 minutes is a good time to start. And it's about building up. You don't run a marathon the first time out. You build up to it slowly. And he suggests finding a quiet place with low lighting, maybe a comfortable chair to sit in. And it suggests not listening to music while you're doing SEs, although it could be okay for you to listen to some music till you start. Then sit upright if you possibly can. Close your eyes. Call yourself forward into the light for the highest good, and just ask for spiritual protection and guidance through your spiritual exercises. And one of the things that we do is a chant, and we look at chanting either the hu or the anahu. And so that's just like hu. Or you can do Anahu. And it is preferable to do this inwardly and silently. And for those of you who are initiated, then you could chant your initiatory tone. And then focus on the attention of the area near the center of the head, directly back from your forehead. And this is a place where the soul has its seat, and the soul gathers energy there. Then after you've chanted for about 5 minutes, then just stop and listen within. And what you're listening for is what we call the sound current, and it can be very subtle. And you may hear it the first time you do it, or it may take years of practice. And to be honest, I don't know whether I've ever really heard it or not, and I've been doing this for 27, 28 years. So there's no right or wrong way to any of this. To me, it's just doing it that creates results. And then if you find your mind wandering and you lose that focus of listening, then do some chanting again. And maybe after about 5 minutes of chanting, then you can listen. So you kind of do it backwards and forwards. Chant for a little while, listen for a little while. And it's approximate times. And, you know, sometimes people find that when they're doing this, they start thinking of all the shopping list of all the things they're going to do. And as you don't want to be distracted, have a little booklet by you in a pencil or a pen. Just write these things down. And as you do that, you will find that the mind will then go, oh, she's taken the notice of that. I can let that go. The mind often keeps going through things because it thinks you haven't heard. So that's just a little bit of information on how to do some spiritual exercises. So just to kind of do a little recap today, what we've been looking at is let's let go of the past. Let's move into living in the present time with the intention and clear direction of where it is that we want to go. It's about using all of the things from our past so that we have a lovely memory bank of beautiful things and experiences and wisdoms that have assisted us to be who we are, so that we have a really solid foundation from which to move forward. We don't want our past pushing us, which means we let the past be the past. And what we do is by being clear about our intention of moving forward, then we can then be pulled forward to that, which is what we're looking for. And know that we are loved, we are worthy, and we are deserving of having everything that we want. So at any point, if you don't feel that, then just do our little deflect button, let it go, and just come back. And really, really, it is time that we all know the magnificence of who we truly are, and that we claim it, that we are part of the co-creator of God on this planet, and that we're here to stand up in the magnificence of who we truly are and be willing to move forward into that which is our inheritance. Be Ruach Be Shem.
Hi, this is Mark Omay, and I'm glad you're listening to BBSRadio.com.